views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Macris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me please.
Hello, everyone. This is Katina Macris on Limelight Radio, and it is a wonderful afternoon here in New Hampshire. Our leaves have fallen. The color is past, but I think the rest of the country is getting their peak of the leaf season now, too. And I'm most delighted because every Wednesday, as followers know, we are checking in with cyclist John Donnelly as he rides across America with Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, promoting awareness and education about Lyme disease and tick-borne illness. So we get to check in with John, and welcome, John. Today, we wonder where you are.
Yeah, it's great to be on the show again. I'm about 80 miles away from the Kansas border, so I'm in way, way eastern Colorado. And right now I'm off of Route 36, and I'm at the edge of a cornfield, sitting down speaking with you.
Wow, you're at a cornfield. Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing. Well, welcome. It's great to hear you, and I just appreciate the technology we have nowadays, that here you are in the middle of a cornfield. I'm in New Hampshire. Our station's down in Rhode Island, and we broadcast all around the country and the globe via Transformation Talk Radio. This is so cool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I made sure I was all charged up before I left for the ride today, and it's good to get off the bike and speak with you.
That's great. Awesome. So listen, I got to hear about the Rockies, because when we left you last week, you were just getting ready for some serious climbing. How did it go?
It was pretty grueling. I guess the toughest part was we went through Monarch Pass, and we got up to 11,300 feet of elevation. So that's the highest I went during my trip, and it's probably the biggest climb I've ever been on. And it was like a perfect storm. We left at the wrong time. I was like halfway up the mountain, and it started blizzarding. So
Lots
of snow, you know, roads covered in slush, and, you know, there were 18-wheelers rolling by, and then going down was probably the toughest part. You know, it was 17 degrees out. The hands were freezing, couldn't feel my face. But then we got out of it.
Oh, my God, John, that's intense. It's so intense.
Yeah, it was really intense. It was, you know, kind of like the Lyme disease experience itself.
That's what I was thinking. My gosh, you know, you've been through horrific Lyme warrior stages, those of us who've had the illness in severe states, and here you were now out in the road in a different kind of battle.
Yeah, it was a totally different kind of battle. And then when I got out of it, I was just so happy, just stretched my arms wide, was smiling. And it's going to be a different type of journey now. So I think we've gotten done with the most physically rigorous part of the journey. And
yeah,
we saw some very beautiful places, and it was definitely rewarding to do those climbs. But felt like, you know, something was missing. It all felt a bit empty. And I think that's because, you know, when I came up with this idea, I wanted to meet with patients. So that's kind of how things change from here on out. It's going to be a lot of patient interviews and listening to their stories and sharing all of them.
That's terrific. Yeah, so when you were going through the Rockies, it was about how many days of that passage?
So we actually, we had to get out of there in a day because the weather just was
so
not
bad.
Cooperating with the trip. So we,
right.
we did all that climbing in one day. It was a
wow.
tough one.
That's remarkable. It shows how strong and how much recovery you have, rebuilt in your life from, you know, former having been so seriously ill for so long.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I couldn't imagine doing a long trip like this, even two years ago. I think my body would have broken down by now.
Can you remember the days when it was hard just to even, walk around the block or, just do something simple like that?
Yeah. And I mean, I really don't want to take this for granted. You know, I know how pernicious and unpredictable these diseases can be. So right now I'm really just enjoying it all and really trying to get this right.
That's awesome. And I think besides the fact that you're doing this for such a great cause, I think it's really important for people to know because they feel so low and depressed and, hard to even get out to the mailbox. And here you are forging these great heights and riding thousands of miles on your bike. It proves the resiliency of the human body and the strength of the human spirit. So congratulations, John, on this mighty trek and the phase that you're in right now.
Thank you. And you too. I mean, you're a healthy host right now, right?
I totally am. I'm a totally healthy host. And it's a great feeling. And yes, we can keep ourselves as healthy hosts. So tell us now, you're off to, have you been through Denver yet?
Yeah. So we were in Denver for 3 days and it was a really great weekend. We had met with a few patients and had kind of formal filmed interviews with them, which will probably come out in the next few days. But it just gave entirely new meaning to this trip. And, it was frustrating to hear the stories and then it was saddening, but it's all inspiring. Knowing that, we're all in this together, and it's one thing to kind of think about all the reasons why you're doing this as you're, climbing through Monarch Pass in the blizzard. It's entirely different to meet and speak with people who have been severely affected and debilitated by these diseases.
I know. And Colorado is kind of what I might call a sleeper state. A lot of the country does not realize that a lot of Colorado is infected with ticks. The ticks are infected.
There's a very odd thing going on here. A lot of the people I spoke with, they said there is no reported case of Lyme disease that originated from Colorado. And then I spoke with people who basically contradicted that. And we also met with Dr. Naylor in Denver, and I asked him that question also. But it'd be a bit odd if all the states surrounding Colorado, there's Lyme disease there. What, do you like the ticks and mice hold up their map and not go into the Colorado border? It didn't make sense to me.
I know, it's strange. But I do. I get emails from Colorado, so I do know people are infected, whether they're picking it up there or hiking in Utah or whatnot. So tell us where you're going, because we want people to come out and join you on Route 36, right? You're going to be 6 days ahead of you now on Route 36 and heading across Kansas. So what, people can ride alongside with you and come say hi? Tell us.
Yeah, I could definitely use the company on this road. I think it's going to be pretty flat for a while, and we're going to be on it for 6 days. So maybe we'll even have like a Forrest Gump effect where I have a bunch of people riding next to me. But, we'll be here and would really love it if people would come out and support me.
That's
even
awesome.
If,
and you get
you
going
ride.
In the morning, you said, what, about 8 o'clock-ish?
Yeah, we're biking on the road at 8 o'clock and then going until, you know, 6 probably.
Great. So you've still got – tell us how people can look at that green line. Is it at the TBDA Alliance website?
Right. Yeah, you can go to TBDAlliance.org. That's TBD as in tick-borne disease, Alliance.org. And if you go to the bottom of the page on the right-hand side, there's a picture of a road, and it says Follow John on it. And you click on that, and it directs you – to the live tracker, and you can see exactly where I am. So
that's great.
That's probably the best way to follow me.
That's great. So people do that, and then you can join John, ride along, and give him some company, which I think he would love. And also
yeah.
on Twitter, you're at John Donnelly, right?
Exactly. And then I also put my email out there on Facebook, too. So I'm accessible in a few different ways.
That's terrific, yeah, because I would love for you to have some company now as you head across the heartland and start interfacing with a lot of patients and families that you're staying with, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Well, believe it or not, our visit with John has swiftly moved along, and thank you, John, for joining me again this week. I love finding out where you are and keeping abreast of your progress. It's such important work you're doing.
Great. Thanks so much. Next time I'll call you, I might be in St. Louis, I think.
Oh, boy, St. Louis. I hope they have a big party for you when you get to St. Louis.
Me too. Thanks so much for having me.
That would be awesome. Anyway, thank you, everyone. Stay tuned. We're going for station break. This is Limelight Radio, and John Donnelly will talk to you next week.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit limelightradio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, this is Katina Macris of Limelight Radio. Do you or someone you know suffer with Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, MS, allergies, loss of wellness? I did, and advanced cell training has been a restorative, self-healing modality, bringing renewed health and energy to my life. Thousands of others rave about the remarkable success Gary Bleier's cutting-edge healing approach at AdvancedCellTraining.com creates. Request their free DVD for self-healing work in the comfort of your own home at AdvancedCellTraining.com. Be inspired to heal in new and expansive ways. Your life is too precious to ignore.
Hello, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and we are back live on Limelight Radio. And I have a wonderful guest with me today that I mentioned to you earlier from Tick-Borne Disease Alliance. I'm going to read you his bio, and then we're going to get talking with David Roth, who is co-chairman of the board of the New York-based Tick-Borne Disease Alliance. After being diagnosed with Lyme disease in 2010, following months of misdiagnosis, Mr. Roth committed himself to raising awareness about Lyme and other tick-borne diseases. Through his work with TBDA, Mr. Roth is leading efforts to advance initiatives aimed at developing a more reliable and effective diagnostic test for tick-borne diseases. Mr. Roth is a managing director in Blackstone's Real Estate Group. Before joining Blackstone, he was a principal in the acquisition group at Walton Street Capital. He received a BA from Dartmouth, a JD from New York University School of Law, and is a certified financial analyst charter holder. He also serves on the board of Columbia Grammar and Preparatory School. And I am happy to say that David Roth is here today. So welcome, David.
Thanks, Katina. Great to be here. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. And we've been checking in, as you know, with your shining star, John Donnelly, on his
Isn't this a great?
America.
Isn't this like a great kid?
He's awesome. He's so amazing. We just heard about the like intense climb through the Rockies and the blizzard he managed with 17 degree weather.
So you probably know, and hopefully your listeners know, we're putting out a daily video blog of his travels, and I really encourage everybody to take a look at yesterday's post, which was of that ride up the mountain through the snowstorm into the blizzard. He gave an unbelievable account of it. And related it to his, his personal journey through Lyme treatment when he was younger. Really, really incredible and powerful. And we're finding a lot of people are connecting with this particular piece.
That's great. That's great. So if people want to see that video, David, they should do what? Should they go to TBDA's website? Or
I would go to Facebook.
Yeah.
And on Facebook we have a page, and I encourage everybody to like our page, and you'll get our post daily. But on that page, you'll see all of John's blogs.
Yeah, it's tremendous. It's an amazing journey he's making, and I think something for all of us in the Lyme community to be totally impressed by, when so many of us couldn't even walk out to the mailbox when the worst of the illness was in full stride.
Yeah, I mean, here's a kid who was, when he was young, was very, very sick. He had, Bell's palsy, had, extreme fatigue and pain and all the things that a lot of us have been through. And here he is, doing this epic journey across, 4,000 miles. It's an incredible, hopeful event that's occurring. And, the ride is changing for him now. He spent the last couple weeks riding from San Francisco to Denver, and almost no people, right? They was just sort of riding through the mountains. Now we're getting to the part of the ride which will get really interesting, I think, where he's meeting with people, interviewing patients, spending time staying in patients' homes, hopefully along the way. And people can go on our website, tbdalliance.org, and look for the map that shows John's ride and shows where he is. And we hope that, people will let us know that they want to meet him along the way, that we can video their stories so that the world will hear what we are going through as patients and advocates. And, you know, we'll hopefully get some people out there riding with them along the way.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And I think that, you know, idea too, as you said, to be able to interface and get some video footage of others that are also struggling with the illness, it's just going to give us more and more momentum to really hammer it home that this is not a, you know, just minor little subset illness up here in New England, but it is everywhere.
Yeah, no, and look, we are focused on awareness, we're focused on advocacy, and we're focused on initiatives that, change the course of this disease and really diseases, all the tick-borne diseases. And, you know, the ride fits in so well with this. He's out there increasing awareness, trying to connect with people. His goal is really to tell people stories. Ultimately, we're going to put this into a short film, which we hope will also get a lot of attention. Along the way, he's meeting with, he's being interviewed by the media. He's going to be meeting with staff of politicians, staffers of politicians. And part of this is going to be in support of, at the end of his ride, which he's going to ride through November, ending up going over the George Washington Bridge. And then on December 4th, we have a Senate staff briefing with the health staffers of the Senate in support of legislation that Senator Blumenthal, Gillibrand, and a number of others have introduced into the Senate in order to support additional research for tick-borne diseases. And, we're going to present this video. John's going to be there. So it's really going to be, I hope, meaningful on a lot of different levels.
Oh, definitely. And when you do that Washington, D.C. process, is that something that you would like people to be out there attending in any way? Or is it something
We are still working on all the logistics, so I don't know how big the hall is going to be. And I don't know if it's going to be open to the public or just specifically for staffers. We have done a number of events which have been open to the public. We did a briefing, what they call a field briefing, in New York with Senator Blumenthal, Senator Gillibrand, and Congressman Chris Gibson, who in the House has been very supportive of our efforts. I wish I knew the answer. I don't know yet whether or not that's going to be open or not.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned because we're checking in every week with John, so we can certainly be updated on that. And I think he said when he's coming into St. Louis, too, he's hoping that there's going to be an opportunity for a larger number of people to come and meet with him. So,
yeah, absolutely. Look, along the way, he's got all the time in the world for anybody who wants to meet with him. So I suggest people go on to our Facebook or our webpage, get in touch with us, let us know you want to meet John.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely. It's such a worthy cause. So, David, I want to ask you, I'm shifting gears a little bit, and you and I have some more time to talk even after commercial break, but you got involved with the whole Tick-Borne Disease Alliance mission because you yourself got ill, right?
Correct. I mean, I ended up getting ill in May of 2010. I was a healthy individual. At the time, I was 44, I think, and had three kids and was totally, going to the gym and was healthy as far as I knew. And then I got, acutely ill and went through what many patients go through, months and months of going to multiple doctors, trying to figure out what was wrong with me, doctors who didn't know anything about Lyme disease, who gave me blood tests that were unreliable that came up negative, and then I finally had a positive blood test, thankfully, 4 months in, and at that point I was really very, very ill. I went on treatments for Lyme disease and babesia, which was clinically diagnosed, and I was off and on treatments for about a year, combination of antibiotics, anti-malarials for the babesia, other meds for a variety of the symptoms that I was dealing with, and a ton of supplements, a lot of, people going through this, as focused not just on the meds, but also on trying to help the immune system. And so I was on supplements and changed my diet dramatically and, you know, did what I could to get better. Mm. And ultimately, you know, a year and a half into it, I slowly started to get better. And I went off of meds about a year and a half after I got sick. And over the last really 2 years, I've continued to get better up to the point where I've kind of plateaued now at about 85% of the human that I was before I got sick.
Yes, I remember that. I was about the 80% level for a number of years there until I made that final ascent to the 100%. So I can relate to that.
Offline, you'll have to tell me how you got there.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely will. But well, I cheer you on because we all know what it's like to be at below functioning level, and it's devastating. I mean, your whole life just gets spiraled down away from you. It's shocking.
Yeah, you know, somebody once asked me, I did a television interview, and they asked if it was life-threatening, and I said it certainly can be, but, you know, more often than that, it's lifestyle-threatening. I mean, this is a dramatic impact on people's lives, people's, you know, their families, you know, and communities.
Definitely. I mean, and, you know, your work becomes in jeopardy and your social connections. And I mean, you're in Manhattan, if I'm correct. I mean, so you're shocked. Even the best of the doctors couldn't pick it up at first.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, New York is tough. In the city, the doctors don't deal with it. You kind of have to go outside the city to find a larger abundance of doctors. We have some doctors in the city who understand and treat these diseases, but, you know, there's certainly more outside the city. And ultimately, I went to a doctor in Hyde Park that people know and particularly recently are talking about it, Dr. Horowitz up in Hyde Park, who ultimately helped me get better.
That's
so
wonderful.
I, going back to the issue of the Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, you know, really
you know
kind
what,
of in
David,
an effort. Yeah.
Can you hold on 1 second?
Because
we need to take a station break and let's come back and talk more about Tick-Borne Disease Alliance. But stay with me, folks, and with David Roth. This is Limelight Radio, and we'll be back shortly after our station break.
If you want to write a book, find your soulmate, change careers, Saskia helps her clients to reinvent their lives through her breakthrough program, 7 Gifts to Unlock Your Breakthrough Miracle.
The daily support, the guided meditation, the powerful exercises designed of the 7 Gifts to Unlock Your Miracle to expand awareness helped me to consciously create the life I want for myself and my family.
You'll learn her proven secrets to unlock your miracle in just 7 days.
Each day, I look forward to discovering what new technique or tool Saskia will offer us in order to find our highest purpose. We don't stop there, though. It feels that daily I'm held accountable for my goals, my dreams, to live a healthy and happy life. Right now, I have renewed energy to write my book, writing my first chapter after only 5 days in this program.
Visit BreakthroughMiracle.com to receive your free 7 gifts to unlock your miracle, or to schedule a free breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
ACT, Advanced Cell Training, is a restorative healing process created by Gary Bleyer to address the body malfunctions that contribute to illness. This breakthrough learning program teaches health insights and principles, strategic integration of both traditional and alternative modalities, while clients train their own bodies to heal themselves. Visit AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit limelightradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Katina Macris on Limelight Radio, and I have to say a special thank you to my producer, Chrissy. She does a great job with me every week helping produce this show. Thank you, Chrissy. And also to Dr. Pat Bocelli out in Seattle, who is the network owner of Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show, which is how Limelight Radio is broadcast to you all around the country. So we're very fortunate to have this weekly talk show. It's a new venue. There's nothing like this in America, and this is fabulous that we get to dialogue and talk about America's number one fastest spreading infectious illness. So let's continue our conversation with David Roth, who's co-chairman of Tick-Borne Disease Alliance. And David, let's learn a little bit more about Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, casually called TBDA.
Sure. You know, I got my diagnosis, I think I remember jumping up for joy, like many people do, to find out finally what was wrong with me and have something to fight against. And, you know, the more I learned and the more I read, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for, because it is, all those who've been through this know, incredibly challenging as a patient. You are constantly having to make your own diagnosis, in a sense. You've got doctors who, even with a blood test, will tell you don't have the disease. And because of where research is, which is, pretty limited in this point in terms of what our knowledge is of these diseases, you have sort of this Hobbesian choice of, you know, either taking massive antibiotic intervention, which I liken to going out and standing in the road and letting yourself get hit by a Mack truck and hope that you survive while the bacteria dies, or doing, you know, a lot of unproven methods of trying to get better. And anybody who's been through this has tried, you know, I've tried a million things from foot pads to spiritual healers, and, you know, some of them might have worked for all I know. So I, truthfully, in an effort to try to find meaning and not let it just be about my illness and just, like, you know, wallow in my own sense of feeling sorry for myself, I decided to try to do something. So I put a group together of business people in New York City who had been affected. Either they'd gotten sick or their family members had gotten sick, to try to figure out how we could make a difference. And I'm a business person, so I think of it in a business-like manner. What's the problem? You know, what do we need to do to solve the problem? How do we finance the initiatives that we think will solve the problem? That's sort of how I think through it. And we had a number of initiatives we were working on. And at some point in late 2011, we got approached by a group called Turn the Corner Foundation, which some of your listeners may remember. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for new direction and to bring new people in, like what we were doing. And so we ended up merging our groups to form the Tick-Borne Disease Alliance in February of 2012. And so we've been around for whatever that is, 18 months or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Goals are to focus on awareness. This disease is preventable, as we know. It's difficult to prevent, obviously, because anybody who goes outside is subject to potentially getting bit by ticks. But, you know, being aware of this disease has tremendous value, both in terms of prevention, but also in terms of rapid intervention. And we know that if you can get at these diseases early, your chances are much, much better. That is made more difficult by a medical community that relies on diagnostics that are not good. So a linchpin of what we're doing is trying to focus on finding better diagnostics. And I think it's worth, and you probably talk about this all the time, but it's worth mentioning that it's estimated that the ELISA test, which is a test typically given to patients initially,
right,
is inaccurate.
The common doctor uses this ELISA test, which is they use it at a local lab somewhere, right?
Yep. Yeah, or they'll use a LabCorp request, but it's inaccurate 35% to 75% of the time, depending in part on when in the course of illness you're given the test. And when the ELISA is combined with the second test in what they call the two-tiered testing methodology, the Western blot, and this is the diagnostic method recommended by the CDC, between 33 and 55% of patients with other laboratory evidence for Lyme disease test negative, especially in the early course of the disease. So incredibly unreliable system. Very, very good at preventing false positives, because the CDC's goal was surveillance. They wanted to know exactly where the disease had gone. But lots of false negatives, which if you're a patient is a terrible situation, made worse by the fact that the medical community acts as if the ELISA test and the Western blot are completely reliable.
I know.
What ends up happening is, patients end up being diagnosed late, if at all, because they get a negative test. And, the doctor, who doesn't really know enough about it, believes that they're accurate and tells the patient that they can't have Lyme disease, and then it is a progressive disease, as we know, and it takes longer for somebody to get diagnosed, and they're that much more sick, and it becomes that much more complicated to get them better.
Yeah,
so
it's
diagnostics is really a linchpin.
That's the linchpin, and that's the piece where I can hear and feel your wonderful business brain at work, because you don't want to let something like this go uncorrected. You're a problem solver, so you want to solve this problem.
That's right. That's right. And, unfortunately, the way to solve the problem is lots of money. You need to have technologies developed. You need tests to be tested, meaning that there needs to be clinical trials to make sure that they're accurate. And then you need ultimately we need is a test that's more sensitive and specific, which are technical terms for, a test that's better at actually finding out who has these diseases. It's more sensitive and specific than the current tests, mass producible, cost effective, and almost as important as anything, accepted by government, insurance companies, and the medical community.
Right.
Because the test, if it's not accepted, it doesn't really do us any good.
Right, because maybe we're getting some clinical evidence backed up by a test, but they're not accepting that test. So we're still sort of spinning our wheels as a society in whole.
Correct.
Right. So Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, it sounds like then one of your missions is you want to work on being able to help fund or master the process of getting a more reliable diagnostic test.
Yeah, it's an incredible, I mentioned it's the linchpin. Let me explain why. Number one, with a better test and awareness, we could dramatically decrease human suffering by catching these diseases early. Mm-hmm. Second thing is, with a reliable test, we could do true epidemiological studies that show how many people actually have this illness. CDC increased the stated rate from 35,000 or so to about 300,000. There's a whole variety of reasons we could go into why I don't think that number is the right number, and it's probably dramatically higher than that number.
Right.
And without the diagnostic, you don't have the ability to do sort of the clinical studies to figure out exactly how many people really are getting these diseases. And then the last thing, which is almost the most important, is in order to do research, which we need to do desperately to understand the pathogenesis of these diseases and understand how to treat them, which is really what long-term sufferers are looking for, the only way to do that is to have what they call well-defined cohorts. These are groups of individuals that can be characterized in a way that allows them to be studied as a group. And because you don't have good diagnostics, all the research today is being done on a small group of people who are incontrovertible Lyme cases, as they describe them. These are people who have either an EM rash, typically.
Yeah.
But we know that, 50% or so of the people out there don't see the EM rash or get it.
Right.
So there's a whole bunch of people that aren't included in that group. And then most of these clinical studies also require that somebody satisfies, having had a positive on the ELISA in the Western blot, which we know are unreliable. So there's a very small group. It's almost like this circular backward logic where, I'll give you an example. I went to a rheumatologist and I laid out, like I always did, all of my paperwork and explained I was on Lyme, treatments for 4 months. And he said to me, well, you had antibiotics for more than a month. You must be better. And I said, why do you say that? And he said, well, studies show that, in quotes, incontrovertible Lyme cases get better from a month of antibiotics 99% of the time. And I said, well, that is a little circular because you've defined the cases you're studying as this very small group of the overall population of sufferers. You've defined those as people who have gotten the rash, which many people don't, or have, gotten both of these tests positive, which, again, there are many people suffering who don't show up the way that the CDC's guidelines say
Definitely.
They need to. There's a whole variety of reasons why that's the case.
Right. I know. It's so much more complicated than that. So, David, we want to continue this conversation, and it's time for our station break. So hold your thought, and everyone else stay tuned, because this is a very important conversation we're having right now. This is Limelight Radio, and we will be back with you just shortly.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Hi, this is Katina Macris of Limelight Radio. Do you or someone you know suffer with Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, MS, allergies, loss of wellness? I did, and advanced cell training has been a restorative, self-healing modality, bringing renewed health and energy to my life. Thousands of others rave about the remarkable success Gary Blyer's cutting-edge healing approach at AdvancedCellTraining.com creates. Request their free DVD for self-healing work in the comfort of your own home at AdvancedCellTraining.com. Be inspired to heal in new and expansive ways. Your life is too precious to ignore.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio hosts and motivational speaker Sue London. Thursdays on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio. This is Katina Macris, and I am having a wonderful conversation with David Roth from Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, and I hope you all are enjoying this. This is really fascinating. So, David, let's continue with what you were sharing with us about the research studies and what TBDA has in mind with, moving in that direction with research work for Lyme.
Sure. You know, the research that needs to be done, and I think there's a lot of it, it needs to be done on a broader segment of the population who are getting sick, who don't satisfy, those criteria that we mentioned earlier. And I think it needs to be done in the area, obviously, of diagnostics, of therapies, and, basic research into the pathogenesis, not just of Lyme, but all of the other diseases. And, there's something worth mentioning, which is, when a patient comes in and says, I have the following symptoms, and they're Lyme-like in nature, they can be caused by different strains. For instance, Borrelia miyamotoi, which is different than Borrelia burgdorferi, the bacteria that causes Lyme, they've now shown that can be caught in the United States. It's caught from a tick bite. It's a spirochetal infection, bacterial infection, causes Lyme-like symptoms, and is treated with antibiotics, but doesn't show up on any of the diagnostic tests. And the medical community sort of looks at it and says, well, it's a slight chromosomal difference, and therefore we're not going to call it Lyme, which is like the equivalent, in my opinion, of like if somebody came in with the flu and the doctor said, you know what, you have H1N7, not H1N3, and I only treat H1N3. From the patient's perspective, it's Lyme. And so we have a definitional problem. We need to start studying a broader, population than just the people who show up and satisfy this sort of limited criteria that the CDC has imposed on the medical community. That requires a lot of things, including samples. So one, biosamples. So one of the things that we're working on, and we're working with a group, we believe that we all need to work together, that we need to bring all of the Lyme organizations that are small and disparate throughout the country and find ways to work with them. And one of the things we're doing is working with a group in the Bay Area, a terrific group of people that go by the Bay Area Lyme Foundation name, on the possibility of putting together a large-scale national biorepository where samples would be collected from patients who both meet the criteria that the CDC imposes, but also a broader population, so that we can do that kind of work, provide those samples to technology providers and researchers who are looking into answering these questions. That's one area, a big focus right now for us.
Yes, because, I mean, you know, there's so many people out there, I'm sure, that would qualify for different kinds of studies. I mean, there's just the way they were able to finally crack the whole HIV/AIDS epidemic 30-some-odd years ago. I mean, if we can just finally get the focus, get the money, as you said, collate these different research groups so they're not factioned out in different places, and, you know, really put the pressure on at all levels. I mean, this should be cracked. We can solve this.
I agree. I mean, if you look at AIDS, which I think is the right, sort of the right model, it was a combination of mass action. So people, you know, in essence, taking to the streets, combined with really good science. And it's incredibly important that we are, you know, science-based, rational, and balanced because and by the way, there are times where we as patients don't feel very balanced.
Right. But
rational, it's really
balanced,
important.
Right?
It really is important that we are, because when you think about where the money comes from, and this requires lots and lots of money, it comes from successful high net worth individuals who want to make a difference for whatever reason. They had a sick child. And this could be a foundation or high net worth individuals, altruistic people. It also comes from a second source, which is the government. And it's been woefully underfunded, these tick-borne diseases, largely because of the CDC approach, which, you know, takes the approach that these things are easy to treat. As a result, why would you ever research them? So one of the things we're doing is trying to get the government, you know, through this bill and through the Senate hearings that we're working on, trying to get the government more focused on this over time. And then the last area, which, you know, frankly, is where the most money is available, the private market, you know, which is looking to make a profit off of us as ill people. And I know that sounds terrible, but private market solutions have solved the majority of the world's problems. People wanting to make a profit has solved the majority of the world's problems. So if we could say it's not 300,000 a year, it's 500 or 600,000 a year, which I think is probably more likely what it is, maybe more, you know, the bigger that marketplace is, the more we can attract the type of people who want to invest their own money to try to figure out how to create better diagnostic tests and better treatments for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my dream, beyond what you all are working on, and it piggybacks right in, is that eventually we will have such a good diagnostic test that annually it can be run as a screening, like when I was a kid when we had those TB screenings annually.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's my view.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just, you know, that's where we need to go. So.
And I would go farther, Katina. I would say It needs to be cost-effective and accepted, so it's just part of the CBC. It's just part of every blood test you get.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're having any kind of an illness, anything.
Right. If you're just getting a regular white blood cell count and C differential, that it would just be part of it all. I have that same vision as you. So if people want to come be part of TBDA, do you welcome new members?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a need for people at all levels to be active in trying to make a difference here. And, you know, I would recommend that people go on to our website. There are email addresses. TBDalliance.org is the website. And email us. Let us know you want to be involved. Let us know you want to do a walk. Let us know that you want to host John Donnelly event. Let us know that you want to get involved. Obviously, if you are one of those high net worth people who has a family member, you yourself are ill, and you want to talk to people who are science-based and rational and really want to make a difference, we need you desperately. If you have contacts with famous people, I mean, this disease needs its Elizabeth Taylors, and it needs its, you know, people who did dramatic things in the AIDS crisis. We need that for this disease. And the stigma around this disease, which we could have more conversations about, but makes it challenging to get those people involved, despite the fact that we know that they're out there. Yes. If you have senators and congresspeople who you're friends with or close to, put them in touch with us. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to make a difference.
That's great. That's wonderful. I applaud you, David Roth. You were working so hard. I have met you personally, and I know what a wonderful person you are and what a generous heart. And I think TBDA is doing some really critical work that is going to help pave a healthier future for us all. So thank you so much for being on air with me today on Limelight Radio. This is a new show, and it's exciting. So thank you, David, and all your great efforts at TBDA. We welcome you back on air with us again. Thank you, listeners. This is Limelight Radio.
Thanks, Katina, so much for having me.
I don't know what's up there.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Are you ready to give your home a fresh look but don't want to do the work? Help is a phone call away. Kathy's Handy is a full-service general contracting company specializing in home improvement, remodeling, and repairs. Kathy's Handy are specialists in kitchens, baths, fireplace makeovers, and finished carpentry, and they partner with other amazing specialty subcontractors needed to complete any job. Friendly, energetic, and dependable with an impeccable reputation to get the job done while keeping you as comfortable as possible during the transformation of your home is the hallmark of Kathy's Handy. Call Kathy now for a free estimate. 206-715-8126. That's 206-715-8126. And visit kathyshandy.com for a complete view of possibilities for your home.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
The Divine Divas Radio Show with Patricia Iris Cairns and co-host Cheryl Angela is dedicated to being love in action and joy in jumping into the next new paradigms for humanity. Divine Divas Radio is evolutionary, revolutionary, and soul-empowered, sharing insights of hope, love, and joy every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join the divas and evolutionary visionaries each week as we step into the new era of oneness and peace together. And visit DivineDivasRadio.com.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.